जाताय तोत्रवेत्रैकपाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृत दुहे नमः। हरे कृष्णा। वेलकम बैक टू द भगवद्गीता भक्ति शास्त्री कोर्स। वी आर नाउ कमिंग टू द कंक्लूडिंग सेक्शंस ऑफ द भगवद्गीता, कंक्लूडिंग वर्सेस ऑफ द भगवद्गीता। सो इन द प्रीवियस क्लास वी डिस्कस्ड अबाउट हाउ if we do not act according to Krishna's direction, Krishna is telling 18.58, act according to my consciousness, machitta sarvadurgani. If we don't, then vinanshasi, you will be lost. And how we will be lost? That is described in 59.60. He says that prakritistvam niyokshati. And then material nature, you will be forced to act according to the material nature. Because we are to a large extent forced to act according to our nature. And then, as a means to go beyond material nature, Krishna talks about how he is the controller of material nature in 18.61. So in the Vedic analysis, there is a school of thought called as Swabhavavad. Swabhavavad means our Swabhava is supreme. Like we have Mayavad, that means everything is Maya. Brahmavad, everything is Brahma. So Vad is argument or a school of thought that presents a particular argument. So Swabhavavad means the school of thought that presents the argument that everything is controlled by Swabhava. So Krishna has told in the 61st verse that he is the controller who is present in all bodies which are made of Maya. Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Riddeshe Arjuna Tishtati Brahmayan Sarvabhutani Yantra Arudhani Maya. So he is saying that he is in control of the bodies. He is in control of the living entities also. So how is that knowledge important? That will be discussed in this verse now. Krishna will describe how we can turn towards him. And so tameva sharanam gacha sarvabhavena bharata tat prasadat param shantim sthanam prapsisi shashvatam. So tameva sharanam gacha. Oh Krishna, Krishna is telling Arjuna, surrender unto tameva, that supreme lord. So here also, because now Krishna is progressively revealing the knowledge. So he is, after talking about surrender, he has gone down to material nature. And then from material nature, he first comes to Paramatma and then he will come to Bhagwan. So often when Krishna refers to the Paramatma, he refers to himself in the third person. That's why he is referring to that super soul, please surrender. Tam eva sharanam gacha. Sarvabhavena Bharata, Sarvabhavena, wholeheartedly, just completely surrender. So says Sarvabhavena has come earlier also in the Bhagavad Gita, especially in 15.19, when Krishna says that when one understands that Krishna is supreme, Yoma Meva Asammudho Janati Purushottama Sa Sarvavid Bhajati Mam Sarvabhavena Bharata, Sarvabhavena, complete with all the emotions of the heart. That means wholeheartedly, complete love we offer to Krishna. So Krishna is telling, surrender to that Supreme Lord wholeheartedly. And then what happens? Tat prasadat, by his mercy. The reference to prasad is coming again now. It has come earlier in 18.58. Machitta sarva durgani Mat prasadat tarishyasi. So same point, that you can go beyond obstacles by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, by mercy. And now Krishna is saying by the mercy of the of that being who is situated in the hearts of everyone. Tat prasadat, what will happen? Param shantim, the supreme peace. Sthanam prapsisi shashvatam, and along with that you will get a shashvat sthan, you will get an eternal resting place, eternal destination. So in material nature, as long as we are situated, we cannot have any eternal destination. Whatever destination we have will be temporary. If we want an eternal destination, we need to take shelter of the Supreme Lord, because he is the controller of material nature, he is the master of material nature, and he can control material nature and he can take us beyond the reach of material nature also. So let's look at this Param Shantim. So there is Shanti. Now Shanti refers to peace. So in the immediate battlefield context, it may refer to that, okay, there'll be no violence, there'll be no war, there'll be peace. But Krishna is not talking about that kind of peace. You know, there is Param Shantim, there's a supreme peace. So what is the supreme peace? There is a peace of the mind and there is a peace of the heart. So, peace of the mind and peace of the heart. What is the difference between the two? Yeah. So, peace of the mind means that, okay, at the mental level there are no anxieties or troubles. When we go, say, to a scenic place and a nice, calm atmosphere, soothing wind, and we feel very relaxed and peaceful. That is peace of the mind. But peace of the heart is something which is different. It is the peace that comes from loving and being loved. Now, when we love and we are loved, at that time, there is no doubt anxiety for the beloved. But still, there is great satisfaction. So, the Bible also talks about this, that actually one can have the peace that passeth all understanding by knowing God, by surrendering to God, by loving God. So passeth all understanding. That means that peace cannot be experienced at the material level of reality. At the material level of reality, we think of peace only in terms of lack of anxiety and agitation, externally or internally. But the supreme peace is that which does not look like peace externally. It looks like anxiety, it looks like agitation, but it is peace because the heart is satisfied, the heart rests in joy. That is what we long for, actually, all. Even if we don't realize it, that's what we are all longing for. Now, when Krishna talks about this kind of peace, so Arjuna, when he is fighting the war, he has to choose between Shanti and Sthana. Now, if he wants Sthana, Sthana is a resting place that can refer to a kingdom. So Arjuna has to choose. If he fights, if he wins, then he will get Sthana, he'll get a kingdom. But then when he gets a Sthana, he will not get Shanti, because he will have to fight for that. On the other hand, if he wants Shanti, then he will have to sacrifice Sthana. So Krishna is telling that actually, if you surrender to me, you will get both. So if without surrendering, Arjuna acts independently, then he will get only one of them. But here Krishna is telling, if you surrender to me, you will get both. And how will you get both? You will get both in the best possible way. Best possible way means Param Shantim and Shashvata Sthana. So supreme peace, the peace that will never be disturbed. Once we return to Krishna and love Krishna, and live a life of love for Krishna in the spiritual world, then there is nothing that can disrupt or destroy that love and that life which we have got with Krishna. Nothing can destroy that. And similarly, in this world, when we get a sthana, nothing is permanent. I may have a kingdom for some time, but then nowadays people hardly think about kingdoms. People think about just some flats. You know, I have some square feet flat, or maybe some people are wealthy, they may have row houses or bungalows. Maybe a few people have villas, but practically nobody is able to think in terms of kingdoms nowadays. But even if I have a kingdom, still that kingdom is also temporary. So it is ashashvatam. I'm there, and even at the most, as long as I am alive, I can be the king. Quite often, even when I am alive, there may be some coup, somebody, there may be uprising, and I may be usurped. And sometimes if a king is overthrown, the king may be killed ruthlessly, or king may be imprisoned, or king may be exiled. And then all the power and privilege the king had enjoyed, everything gets lost. And that terrible humiliation that happens for the king who was ruling in glory and now has to flee in fear. So that is the plight of the material existence. So beyond this plight of material existence, there is transcendental existence. And in that transcendental existence, there is the supreme reality. The supreme reality is that we are eternally meant to love Krishna and rejoice in that happiness. So Krishna is telling, by surrender to the Supreme Lord, he will get both. He will get Sthana, you will get the Param Sthana, Shashvata Sthana and Param Shanti. So now, after describing this, what does this mean practically in terms of surrender?
So we will discuss about surrender a little later. Tameva Sharanam Gacha. But here the important point is that we all have to recognize that we have to serve Krishna according to our nature. So let's move back. So what is happening in this chapter? See, I'll come back to this later. Yeah. So chapter 18, how is the progression going? The gradual ways, karma, karma kand, jnana kand, and then moksha ultimately leads to moksha. Moksha was Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma na Shoshit Nikangshati. Then Krishna talked about rapid way, Chitta Sarva Karmani Api Sada Kurvano Madhya Pashriya. So from that point, 56 to 58. Now, if don't follow the gradual path or the rapid path, one will get lost. Now, if one is not to get lost, Krishna will now will talk about coming to the higher level directly. So first he talks about surrender to the super soul, and then he will talk about surrender to the Supreme Lord. So now here a question comes up, what do we do? How do we in Kali Yuga discover our nature, and how do we serve according to our nature? So in general, the important thing to recognize is that all of us have a nature, but it is not necessary that the nature will be will be only one kind of nature. That means that yes, if a Brahmana and a Brahmani unite, then it's quite likely that the son who is born, a child who is born, will be a Brahmana. But now there have been practically generations of unions which have been of different varnas, and thereby the resulting is that people who are born, they often have a mixture of various varanas. Though of course one varana is predominant, but still the important point is not to sort of try to go into a paralyzing analysis means one thinks, so there's so much analysis one does that there is paralysis by analysis. No, one has no need for that. What one focuses on is using one's intelligence to find out what is the activity in which we are externally competent and internally comfortable, and then we do that activity. So generally in our devotional life, there is some activities which we like to do, some activities you don't mind doing, and some activities we just can barely tolerate doing. We just feel that if I can avoid it, it will be very good. So that will vary. So in general, the activities which we like to do, we gain strength from those activities. The activities which we don't like to do, we have to expend strength to do those activities. We have to fight against ourselves to do those activities. But either way, by doing the activities that we are to do, which we do, we can gradually grow towards Krishna if we choose it intelligently. So in general, we have to have some activities which we like to do, and they give us strength and inspiration, and they help us, they make spiritual life joyful even at our level. And then afterwards, when we become purified, then we are not so much controlled by our material nature. Then whatever we want to do, we can do for Krishna's sake, and we get joy in that. Of course, even pure devotees have their individuality, and their individuality is such that it pleases Krishna. So if we look at the intimate pastimes of Krishna with his gopas and gopi that is described, every gopa and gopi has his or her own individual nature, and their nature and their service according to the nature pleases Krishna. So there is spiritual individuality. We are not talking about that right now. We are talking about our material nature, our material individuality, which has to be purified and elevated. So, how do we purify our material individuality? By engaging in service in a proper way. So we don't have to, our material nature does not require rejection or repression. Rejection means imagining that, I don't have this nature only. And repression means, I have, but I try to curb it. That will also not work. There has to be expression and direction. I have to express my material nature. If I have a Brahminical nature, I have to act as a Brahmana. But then there has to be direction. As a Brahmana, I may want to read all kinds of books. But no, we should study primarily scripture and books that help us to understand scripture. And then we Then so there is direction required. So in this way, when we talk about sharanam, so when we're talking about surrender to the absolute truth, that does not necessarily mean giving up everything material. It simply means that we take his guidance about how best to serve him. So the principle of varnashram dharma is to help us surrender to the Supreme Lord. So varnashram dharma offers us a particular way by which we can gradually surrender to the Supreme Lord. So that is within Vedic Varanashram, it is gradual. In Daivi Varanashram, it is rapid. Vedic Varanashram is one primarily acts according to one's Varana. In Daivi Varanashram, one acts primarily as a Vaishnava, so is Vaishnava, Vaishnavi serving Krishna. And within that, one chooses how best one can serve Krishna as per time, place, circumstance. So, and of course, not the time, place, circumstance, according to one's Swabhava also. So, the primary focus in Daivi Varanashram is that, okay, I am a soul, I have an eternal relationship with Krishna, I am meant to serve Krishna, but how I will serve Krishna, that will vary according to time, place, circumstance. So now here, Krishna tells that, now in this way, you should surrender. He says surrender. Now after describing surrender, then what happens next? Let's look at it. Yes. Yeah. So 18.63 we come to now. Iti te jnanam akhyatam guhyat guhyataram maya vimrishyaita dasheshena yathechasi tatha kuru. So iti te jnanam akhyatam. I have spoken this. And what kind of knowledge is this? Guhyat guhyataram maya. Guhyat is guhya, confidential. Guhyataram, it is confidential, more confidential also. That is guhyat guhyataram. So there is good, better, best. So like that, the superlative. So this is the second level. There is more confidential knowledge. Now, after telling this confidential knowledge, what should Arjuna do? Vimrishaitad asheshena. Vimrishaitad, vimarshanam. Vimarshanam means absorption, contemplation. Serious intellectual thought about it. The word often uses intellection. Intellectual contemplation is called intellection or mentation. Not meditation, mentation. Mentation means contemplation. So, vimrishaitad asheshena. Asheshena. Meditate thoroughly. Think seriously. Deliberate deeply. Don't leave any stone unturned. You know, deliberate. Vimrishaitad asheshena. And then after that, yatha ichyasi tatha kuru. Yatha ichyasi. As is your desire, tatha kuru. So you can act. So here we see the Bhagavad Gita, as I said earlier, it doesn't hand down commandments, it gives choices. So the Bhagavad Gita is telling us, I'm telling Arjuna over here, and through Arjuna, all of us, that act for the pleasure of Krishna. That is what Bhagavad Gita's message is, but it doesn't act for the pleasure of Krishna is indirectly mentioned in the previous verse, Tameva Sharanam Gacha. But the Bhagavad Gita does not impose this message dogmatically. What does it say? It says, okay, this is what I told you. If it makes sense, now act accordingly. If it doesn't make sense, then you have the free will. You can choose how you want to act. So that freedom, Krishna never takes away from us. Krishna always offers the freedom of how we should act. So we always have free will. And the whole purpose of Krishna is to guide us how to use our free will properly. Just like if a small child somehow finds say 1,000 rupee note. The child finds 1,000, child may not even understand what is value. Now with 1,000 rupee note, the child can get so many valuable things. But child may think that, oh, 1,000, what the child thinks is valuable is maybe one chocolate. Now chocolate may be worth just 2 rupees or 5 rupees. But the child may just give away those 1,000 rupees for the sake of a 2 rupee or a 5 rupee worth object. So then the parent doesn't want to take away the 1,000 rupees from the child. But if the child has 1,000 rupees, the parent wants to guide. See, this is so valuable. Use it properly, then you will get much more. So similarly, when Krishna gives us directions, the purpose of Krishna's directions is not to deprive us of our freedom, but to ensure that we do not deprive ourselves in the name of freedom. What does it mean? Not deprive us of our freedom, but we don't deprive ourselves in the name of freedom. Now the child may say, I want to be free. And in the name of freedom, the child may actually just underutilize 1,000 rupee object, a 1,000 rupee note for just a few rupees worth of object. So therefore, in the name of freedom, child may say, I want to be free. But in the name of freedom, the child will deprive himself or herself, because the child doesn't understand the value. Similarly, we have got the human form of life, and the human form of life is sulabham sudurlabham. Sulabham, actually we don't pray in a lower species that I get a human form of life. We just get it. That's Krishna's mercy. When we get the human form of life, sulabham sudurlabham. So this human form of life is sudurlabham. It is very rare. And labdhva sudurlabham idam bahu sambhavante manushyam anityam arthadam apiha dhiraha. Manushyam anityam arthadam. It is temporary, but arthadam, it is truly valuable. It can grant us that which is truly arthapurna. That is artha. What is our artha? That is the paramartha, the supreme artha. We can get eternal happiness through this. So therefore, turnam yatet na patetan mrityu yavan nishreyasaya vishaya khalu sarvata syad. So turnam yatet, endeavor immediately. Turnam yatet napatet anumrityu yavan napatet. Immediately endeavor before this body falls, and this body is capable of falling at any time. Anumrityu yavan, it can fall at any time, and therefore when you have to endeavor vishayakhalu sarvatasya nishreyasaya, endeavor for transcendence, endeavor for eternal existence. Vishayakhalu sarvatasya, vishaya can be got everywhere. So essentially, again, the point which we are discussing is vimrishaitadasheshina yathechasitadakur. Deliberate and then decide what is to be, what you want to do. Act accordingly. Act according to your desire. So, the Bhagavad Gita is telling, is giving an elaborate analysis. So, all the preceding verses, they comprise an analysis. And this analysis is meant to guide Arjuna towards the best action. So, when Krishna gives us some directions, it is not to deprive us of our freedom, but it is to save us, stop us from depriving ourselves in the name of freedom. What we can get out of life, we will get so much lesser if we don't take Krishna's guidance. Just like a child will get so much lesser out of a thousand rupee note. So to enable us to get the best bargain out of life, Krishna wants us to choose, and choose intelligently. So, but ultimately it's our free will. Krishna is never going to take away the free will from us. So at this point, more or less, Krishna has sort of completed the instructions. Just like a teacher who is giving a class says, now you can decide what you want to do. So now that means the onus has shifted from the teacher to the students. So like that, the onus shifts on Arjuna. And the Acharya has described that at this point, as Vishnu Acharya says, that Arjuna goes into deep thought and he starts thinking, what should I do? How should I act? Krishna has told this in the second chapter, and that in the seventh chapter, and that in the 11th chapter, and that in the 15th chapter. Now he is contemplating very seriously about what all should I do, what should I do, and there is so much that has been spoken and discussed and analyzed. So Arjuna goes into grave thought, and seeing this, Krishna's heart overflows with compassion. Krishna tells Arjuna, actually, Arjuna, you don't have to think so deeply about things. You know, I see your sincerity. I know you are not whimsical, you are not independent minded. You actually, you want to do what is best for you, and you have faith in me that you know that what I want for you is the best. So therefore, I will guide you about what to do. I'll guide you. So then that guidance Krishna provides in the next verse. So here the word Asheshena means, Krishna is telling Arjuna, you can contemplate for as long as you want. As long as you want. But there is an implication also, you know, how long will you contemplate? Actually, the living entity has been trying to think about what will give me happiness for so many lifetimes after lifetime after lifetime. But has always come to false conclusions. Okay, maybe this or that will give me happiness. But none of that gives happiness. So therefore, Vimrishaita Dasheshena. So contemplate. But when Arjuna goes deep into contemplation and is unable to decide, so Krishna makes things even more clear.
Sarva Guhyatamam Bhuyaha Shrunume Paramam Vachaha Ishtosime Drudhamiti Tato Vakshamite Hitam.
So it's a very beautiful verse, and this indicates why this section is the conclusion of the Gita.
Sarva Guhyatamam Bhuyaha
Sarva Guhyatamam. This is the most confidential knowledge. Sarva Guhyatamam Bhuyaha. So Guhya, previous verse was Guhyatara. Now it is Guhyatama. But it's most good, better, best. So this is the best.
Sarva Guhyatamam Bhuyaha.
Bhuya means again.
Shrunume Paramam Vachaha.
Shrunume. Oh, here Arjuna, Paramam Vachaha. These are the supreme words.
Ishtosime Drudhamiti.
Ishta means dear. You are very dear to me. You are strongly loved by me. Drudham. Drudham means determined. So Krishna is determined to love us.
Tato vakshamite hitam.
Therefore, hitam, for your benefit, I am speaking these things. So this verse indicates that Krishna, what he is speaking, is a very intimate expression of his heart. Now Krishna is not like a teacher who in a detached way gives some instruction to the students. Teacher really doesn't, in educational institutes where teaching is a paid profession, the teachers are not really very deeply concerned about their students. There is some relationship between the teacher and students, but nothing very serious. So it is not like that, this relationship between Krishna and Arjuna. Krishna is saying that,
Ishtosime Drudhamiti,
you are very strongly loved by me. In fact, I am determined to love you. So, actually we are determined to forget Krishna. In fact, in many ways, modern progress actually means inventing newer and newer ways to forget Krishna. Of course, the results of progress can also be used to serve Krishna. That is true. But still, in many ways, what happens is the more there is progress, the more people tend to forget Krishna because they start thinking about how to live separate from Krishna and how to they may not think about Krishna also, but how they live separate from Krishna is that they get involved and lost in newer and newer forms of illusion. So for example, in the past, if people wanted entertainment, maybe they would have to go to some dance performance or they would sing. And generally the dancers would be, say, in the Vedic culture, they would be Bharatanatyam, which lots of pastimes would be depicted. Or otherwise, there would be some Hari Katha, Hari Kirtan, Hari. So like that, most of the entertainment was connected with Krishna. But then, now we have got television. And television, there are over 100 channels. And practically, there may be 100 channels, but knowledge about God, pure devotional knowledge about God, is very rarely available anywhere. And then there is internet, and there are video games, and there are so many newer and newer ways of forgetting Krishna. So this is unfortunate. So what Krishna is telling over here, I am determined to love you. So we unfortunately have directed our intelligence away from Krishna, and because of which we are determined to forget him. But by Krishna's mercy, we can turn towards him, we can learn to love him, and we can reciprocate with his determination to love us. So Krishna is telling, Ishtosime Drudhamiti, I'm determined to love you. So lifetime after lifetime after lifetime, Krishna never leaves us and goes away. He remains in our heart forever waiting for us to turn towards him. So as we discussed earlier, Vijendra also prays, Madruk Prapanna Pashupasha Vimokshanaya Muktaya Bhuri Karunaya Namo Layaya. So he says, Alayaya, my dear Lord, you are present in my heart and you are Bhuri Karunaya. You are immensely merciful, greatly merciful. The gopis in the famous Gopi Gita sing, Bhuri Dajanaha. You do great good to everyone. You are the welfare worker for everyone. or they're talking about devotees over there. But the word bhuri means good or greatly good. So bhuri karunaya, your mercy is greatly good. It's, so what is the bhuri karunaya? Alayaya, that you never get tired. You are forever striving to do good to others. So Krishna is ishto sime drudhamiti. And how is Krishna expressing his determined affection? Tato vakshami te hitam. Therefore, for your benefit, I am speaking these words. So Krishna is not speaking for his own benefit. It's like a good doctor and speaks some instructions that is for the benefit of the patient. So tato vakshami te hitam. Some people think that, oh, Krishna, you know, Krishna needs us. Krishna wants us to serve him. No, Krishna doesn't need us. Actually, we need to serve him, because by serving him, we will become happy. And Krishna is also making sarva guhyatama, most confidential knowledge. Bhuyaha. Now, why is he using the word bhuyaha? Because the knowledge about bhakti, which is going to give, he has given it earlier. So, earlier also, Krishna has used the word guhyatamam in firstly 9.1 and 9.2. 9.1 it says Rajvidya Rajguhyam. So 9.1 is Rajvidya Rajguhyam is 9.2 and 9.1 is Idam tu te guhyatamam pravakshamyanasuyave. So guhyatamam, most confidential knowledge. So 9th chapter was going to talk about, the title itself is Rajguhya Yoga, most confidential knowledge. But if we see, that is the knowledge about bhakti. Ananya Shintayanto Mam is 9.22. Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam is 9.26. And then Manmana Bhaumat Bhakto is 9.34. So it's clearly bhakti verses are there. So that is Guhyatamam. And then similarly, Krishna has also used a similar describer for describing in 15.20. In 15.20, Krishna says that Iti Guhyatamam Shastram Idamuktam Mayanagha. Iti guhyatamam shastram. In this way, the most confidential knowledge I have told you. That's why Krishna is using the word bhuyaha. So guhyatamam he has used in 9.1 as well as in 15.20. But even when Krishna has used that, Krishna is using double glorifiers over here. Iti te sarva guhyatamam bhuyaha shrunume paramam vachaha. So paramam vachaha are the supreme words. Paramam vachaha. So it's like first most confidential knowledge and supreme word. So both are superlatives which highlight how glorious is the knowledge that Krishna is speaking. Supreme words, paramam vachaha. So Krishna has used this word paramam vachaha also earlier. In the start of the 10th chapter, he says 10.1, bhuya eva mahabaho shrunume paramam vachaha. Shrunume paramam vachaha. Oh Arjuna, hear my supreme words. And we see 10th chapter, what does it contain? 10.8 to 11 is Chatushloki Bhagavata. And that is clearly bhakti. Machitta madgata prana and the dami buddhi yogam tam, 10.9 and 10. So basically, this knowledge, wherever Krishna has used these describers, sarva guhyatamam or paramam vachaha, thereafter he has described bhakti only. But nowhere in the Bhagavad Gita is such a combined and concentrated combination of superlatives used. So combination means, we discuss all the verses where guhyatamam is used or paramam vachaha is used, but this is one verse where guhyatamam and paramam vachaha are both used in the same verse. And not only that, further there is glorification of the knowledge, and there is also expression about the intimacy of the relationship. Ishta, drudham, hitam. So, you know, you're very dear to me. I'm speaking for your benefit. So, this verse is very important to understand the importance of what is going to come afterwards. So, this verse indicates that Krishna is telling Arjuna that I'm going to speak to you now. The most confidential knowledge, the supreme instruction. I'm going to speak to you because you're very dear to me and I want your benefit. So all this indicates that what is going to come in the future verses is extremely special, is extremely exalted. So let's look at what comes in the next verse.
So manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mame vaishyasi satyam te pratijane priyosi me manmana bhava mad bhakto manmana bhava that always think about me bhava mad bhakto become my devotee madhyaji worship me mam namaskuru offer your obeisances unto me mam evaishyasi satyam te You'll certainly come to me. Pratijane priyosi me. This I declare because you are very dear to me. Now, this verse is very important. Again, because it is describing the supreme instruction, but is also describing Arjuna Krishna's affection. So the first two lines of this verse are similar to 9.434. 9.434 also manmana bhav mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. So fix your mind on me. That refers to the mind, of course. Manmana bhav mad bhakto. Offer your heart to me. Madhyaji. Worship me. And mam namaskuru. That refers to our body. So basically, these four are meant to indicate that we offer our entire existence to Krishna. When we offer our entire existence to Krishna, then that is what has been told in 9.34 and is also recommended over here. But the difference over here is that there it was Mam evaishyasi yuktvaivam atmanam matparayanah Mam evaishyasi, you will come back to me yuktvaivam by staying engaged like this atmanam matparayanah If your heart and soul are like this engaged then your atma if your atma is matparayanah is parayan towards me is devoted to me then you will come back to me So, but Krishna is telling over here something different. What is he telling? There, if you look at the verse, there the onus is on the devotee, on Arjuna. See, you do like this, then Mam Evaishyasi. You will Mam Evaishyasi was there, you will come back to me. But how? Yuktvaivam. By being engaged in this way, and Krishna further clarifies, what is engagement in this way? I mean, Atmana Matparayana. By being completely devoted, whole and soul to me. Atmana. But here, Krishna's emphasis is different. There, you know, in any relationship, there are two aspects. If there is a relationship between two people, A and B, so for the relationship to be successful, what A is ready to offer to the relationship is important, and what B is ready to offer to the relationship is also important. So, in that 9.34, Krishna is emphasizing what the devotee needs to offer in that relationship. Atmana matparayana. But here in 18.65, Krishna is telling what I bring into that relationship. So what does he bring into the relationship? Krishna is telling over here that Mam evaishyasi satyam te, I'm speaking the truth to you. What is Mam evaishyasi? You'll certainly come back to me. Mam evaishyasi, so satyam, truth. So why does he say I'm speaking the truth? Because it's such a extraordinary thing. Actually, bhakti appears to be very simple. You think of Krishna, worship Krishna, these seem very simple things. How can, by doing these things, one attain the supreme perfection of life? The perfection of going back to the spiritual world. How can one attain that? So Krishna is telling, yes, it is possible. Mam evaishyasi tyam te. This is the truth. Be confident about it. And pratijane priyosime. Priyosime. You are very, very dear to me. Priyosime. You are very dear to me and I am pratijane, declaring this, pratijane. Now actually the word pratijane is like a proclamation, a promise, a declaration, a public affirmation, a public declaration. So the word pratijane was used earlier in the Bhagavad Gita by Krishna in 9.31. Therein he said, That Kaunteya Pratijanihi Name Bhakta Pranashyati. Oh Kaunteya, oh Arjuna Pratijani. Declare to the world that my devotee will never perish. So there Krishna has made the declaration to the whole world. But now here Krishna is making a declaration to everyone. He is saying, I make the declaration to you Arjuna and you are a devotee and this applies to all those who aspire on the path of devotion. All those who cultivate the aspiration for pure devotion. And ultimately, it refers to all living beings because all living beings are potentially devotees of Krishna. Within everyone's heart, ultimately, there is
devotion to Krishna, that simply that devotion is misdirected towards worldly things. So here Krishna is telling, Arjuna, I love you and I want you to attain perfection. And to help you attain that perfection, I guarantee you, you just do these things, you redirect your heart towards me. And if you just do the redirection of the heart towards me, I will ensure that you will come back to me. So Krishna is pratijane, proclaiming. So when there is a proclamation, then there is a greater assurance. Suppose somebody makes a promise, you know, if you do this, then I will give this. So normally whenever there is promise made, if it's just an informal oral promise, then it will not be taken so seriously. But if a person wants to take a promise seriously, then what may happen is, person may call, okay, call witnesses. So I tell it publicly that I will do this for the person. So when there are witnesses, then it becomes much more serious, that particular promise. And if somebody goes out and declares publicly, you know, announcements or advertisements, or in the, so nowadays we have social media, somebody declares, you know, if you do this, then I will give this. So suppose somebody is lost, or somebody's relative is lost, and then when the relative is lost, at that time the person wants to, this person declares, you know, if somebody can find my relative and give me the address, then I will give, say, 10 lakh rupees or whatever amount I'll give. So now if somebody may just tell this informally, and then somebody gives the information, he says, I never said that, I may deny it. But if somebody makes a public announcement like that, then it becomes a matter of honor. Yes, I've said that, I will do that for you. Otherwise it becomes a matter of disgrace. You may promise, what is the value of your promise? So like that, what Krishna is saying, pratijane, I am making a public proclamation that you just do this, you will come back to me. And for Krishna, if you may think that it is just a matter of honor, no, it's not just a matter of honor, it's a matter of the heart. It's pratijane is a matter of honor, but priyosime, it is a matter of the heart. So actually I love you, and naturally therefore I'll take you back to me. So therefore, if you do this, I will do this for you. This is a matter of honor and a matter of the heart. Krishna will definitely take us back to him. So Krishna is actually bearing his heart for us. He's revealing the intimate emotions that are present in his heart, so that we can offer our heart to him, so that we can turn towards him. And this is the supreme sweetness of Krishna being manifested in the Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita is more of an analytical book, but even within that analysis, the Bhagavad Gita also gives us a profoundly moving devotional conclusion. And that devotional conclusion is expressed over here. So now, at this point, Arjuna is still thinking. Okay, Krishna had told Arjuna in 63, Vimrishaita, think deliberately. Then Krishna said, no, I'll give the most confidential knowledge. And now Krishna has given in 65 the confidential knowledge. So then the question comes up, but yes, you're telling me to do this, but there are so many other things also which can be done. And it's not that they're adharmic, they can be dharmic also. There are so many other things that a person can do. So what should I do exactly? So that Krishna addresses in the next verse. So these two are often one of the of most quoted verses of the Gita. And here we see, this is a very famous verse. Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami ma shuchah. So sarva dharman parityajya, give up all varieties of religion. Mam ekam sharanam raja, surrender unto me alone, and aham tvam sarva papebhyo, I will free you from all sinful reactions. Moksha will free you. Ma shuchaha, do not fear, do not doubt, do not hesitate, wholeheartedly do this. So let's look at these words line by line. Sarva dharman parityajya. Parityajya means to give up. This is actually quite a radical declaration, because the idea is Arjuna, Krishna has come to protect dharma, you know, to re-establish dharma. Dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. Krishna has told in 4.8 that 4.7 and 8. 4.7 he says that yada yada dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutthanam dharmasya. So when dharma goes down, I come. And why do I come? To establish dharma. So then why is Krishna telling over here, give up dharma? Sarva dharman parityaj. So actually what Krishna is telling is that give up all varieties of dharma apart from the dharma of mamekam sharanam braj. Apart from the dharma of surrender to me, of pure devotion to me. And not just surrender of pure devotion, but undistracted, undiluted, wholehearted pure devotion. Mam ekam sharanam braj. Just surrender to me alone. So why me alone? Because you know, love is a matter of the heart. And when the devotional love is directed towards too many things, then it cannot be wholehearted. So you know, there's one God and we have to put our faith in the one Supreme Lord. Yes, he can have many representatives and we can respect his representatives also. But that doesn't mean that they are objects of devotion for us. They may be objects of respect for us, no doubt, because we see them also as servants of the Lord. And in many ways, they are more exalted servants than us. So naturally, we respect them. But still, even after we respect them, they are still in this world only. And their blessings cannot take us beyond this world. Their blessings cannot grant us pure love. So which is the password to the spiritual world. So therefore, what Krishna is telling is that mamekam sharanam braj. So there can be many dharmas, but give up all varieties of dharma and just surrender to me alone. So now we have to understand, if we look at the Bhagavad Gita at the end, now did Arjuna become adharmic? No. Arjuna still remained a devotee and he practiced life as a devotee. He remained dharmic. And what did he do as a dharma? He did the Kshatriya dharma. So if we look at the Udyoga Parva in the Rama, in the Mahabharata. The Udyoga Parva is the fifth Parva. Bhagavad Gita is coming in the sixth Parva, that is the Bhishma Parva. So there is the Adi Parva, then the Sabha Parva. Adi Parva is the childhood of it describes the life of Bhishma and everyone, and the childhood of the Pandavas and Kauravas. Sabha Parva describes the dishonor and of Draupadi. Then there is Vana Parva, where there is the exile of the Pandavas. Then there is a Virata Parva, where the Pandavas live in incognito. And the fifth Parva is the Udyoga Parva. So in Udyoga Parva, there is the attempt to avoid war. So Krishna comes as Shanti Dut. And before that, there are various messengers sent. Udrupada first sends his messenger as a Brahmin to Virata. Actually, Virata and Drupada, they both come together, because Arjuna has been staying, the Pandavas have been staying in Virat's kingdom, and Drupada also comes over there. So a Brahmin messenger goes to as a peace messenger, and then Sanjay sends somebody for peace, and then Krishna himself goes. So not Dhritarashtra sends Sanjay for peace. So Udyoga Parva, all this is described. So in Udyoga Parva, when the Pandavas are discussing whether there should be a war or not, so at that time, I describe what is the defining underlying conflict. It's a conflict between Kshatriya Dharma and Kula Dharma. So Kshatriya Dharma is that a warrior has to fight. Now wherever there is injustice, the warrior has to counter that injustice. And a Kshatriya requires land to rule. Ruling is the prescribed duty for Kshatriya. So there is Kshatriya Dharma. And then there is Kula Dharma. Kula Dharma is what? The duty to one's family, to one's dynasty. So as per Kula Dharma, one should not attack one's relatives. One should protect one's relatives. In fact, you know, in this world, without our relatives, we would be completely lonely. Now, of course, even with our relatives, we are lonely in the sense that we come alone to this world and we go alone out of this world. Our only eternal relationship is with Krishna. So our family relationships, they become meaningful and fruitful when they help us to develop our devotional relationship with Krishna. So that is what is desirable ultimately. But still, the point is that in the Vedic culture, there is paradharma and there is aparadharma. So paradharma is our pure devotional relationship with Krishna, and a dharma that helps us to develop pure devotional relationship. That is Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Pada Sevanam, the nine activities of devotional service. Aparadharma can be various things. Or there can be the duty to the family, duty to the dynasty, duty to this country, duty to the humanity. Like that, there can be various duties. So now, for Arjuna, the conflict was between Kshatriya Dharma and Kula Dharma. So should I protect my family members, whatever be the cost, or should I fight, whatever be the cost? So what should I do among these two? So this was this, you know, there is a discussion which goes on, and all the Pandavas, they are not eager for the war, but they realize that the war is inevitable, and then they enter into the war, they embark on the war. So at that time, that the conflict is resolved pragmatically. But here, the pragmatically means practically it is decided, Duryodhana is so obstinate, so how can there be peace when somebody is so obstinate? The Pandavas are ready to be satisfied even with just 5 villages, but even that Duryodhana is not ready to give. So Duryodhana's obstinacy is seen as it pragmatically resolves the conflict, because if the other party is utterly uncompromising, is utterly callous and insensitive about the concerns of oneself, then one is not at all inclined to placate that party. So that's what it happens. So pragmatically it gets resolved. But in the Bhagavad Gita, this dialectic, this conflict between Kshatriya Dharma and Kula Dharma, it is resolved philosophically by telling that actually both dharmas are aparadharmas. And the paradharma is a dharma of manmanabho madbhakto, is of pure devotion to Krishna. And you should follow paradharma. So that's what Krishna is telling. Sarva dharman parityaj mamekam sharanam raja means, sarva dharman parityaj means give up all aparadharmas. Mam ekam sharanam raja means accept the paradharma. The paradharma is of pure devotional service. So accept that paradharma. And when you accept that paradharma, what will happen by that? Mam ekam sharanam raja. But then you take shelter of me. But then how do we take shelter of Krishna? When we now, that is also elaborate subject which we can't go into here, but shelter also has to be taken in this world. We have to do certain activities in this world. Suppose I say I surrender to Krishna. Suppose people think of surrender means, say I'm doing some, I have a family and I'm living in the world, and I decide that, you know, I'll give up my job, I'll give up my family, and I'll just renounce everything for Krishna's sake. Okay, what after that? After that I have to do something. If somebody becomes a brahmachari, somebody becomes a sannyasi, then that person still has dharma. That person has to do brahmachari dharma or sannyasa dharma. So whatever dharma one has to do that dharma. So mam ekam sharanam vraja doesn't mean that one has to become adharmic. Sarva dharman parityajya does not mean that one has to become adharmic, but rather one has to accept that dharma which helps one to do mam ekam sharanam vraja. So there can be various dharmas also. For example, you know, young person can have a dharma to the parents, can have a dharma to other relatives, can have a dharma to society. Sometimes people say that, okay, sometimes when people see that young boys are becoming brahmacharis, so they may say that, you know, what about your country? In the country, the country spent so much money for providing you engineering education, and you wasted an engineering seat. So actually speaking, India lost an engineering seat when you became a monk. So when people ask, most devotees, when a devotee, they answer that actually it is not India which lost an engineering seat, it is America which lost an engineering seat. Now what happens is most people who do engineering, especially they do it from good colleges, they often go to America. And then with their intelligence, they are serving America. So of course, the point is that at a aparadharma level, that is a valid reality. Yes, we are living in a country. And in the country, if the country has provided certain facilities, then we also have certain duties for the country. But that is aparadharma. So if one gives up aparadharma and becomes, an alcoholic or a drug addict, you know, then that's truly a wasting of engineering seat. You got such good education and then you squandered it all away. So from aparadharma, if one goes to adharma, then that is wastage. But then if somebody is going from aparadharma to paradharma, then that is glorious, to go from aparadharma to paradharma. So yes, the country may have done something for me, country may have done a lot for me, but how did the country do it for me? The country is not an independent entity. The country has natural resources. The, how are those resources coming from? They are coming from Krishna. That means what the country has done for me, it is Krishna who has done for me through the country. So, if I am not serving Krishna, then I have a duty to the country which I have to fulfill. But if I am serving Krishna, then I may not serve the country. Of course, you know, when people become brahmacharis, often they do a great service to the country also. Because they are preserving the country's culture, the country's national spiritual heritage. And in that sense, that service to country is also done. But the point is that when we talk about sarvadharman pratijamamekam sharanam braja, what it means is that one gives up those dharmas which are pratikul to mamekam sharanam braja, which are unfavorable for surrendering to Krishna. And we accept that dharma which is favorable for surrendering to Krishna. So by accepting this dharma which is favorable for surrender to Krishna, we make spiritual advancement. So for Arjuna, the Kula Dharma was unfavorable, the Kshatriya Dharma was favorable. So Arjuna at the end of the Bhagavad Gita acts as a Kshatriya, but that is external. Arjuna is adopting Kshatriya Dharma so that he can practice the Paradharma of Bhakti. So Arjuna is not a Kshatriya who is doing Bhakti Yoga, he is a Bhakta who is practicing Kshatriya Dharma. So the priority has to be clear. First I am a devotee and then I may be an engineer, I may be a doctor, I may be a housewife, I may be a temple president, I may be a counselor, I may be a guru. First I am a servant of Krishna, I am a devotee. And then I can have various roles which may be in the material world or which may be in Krishna's institution also. So, sarva dharman pratyajamamekam sharanam raja means we accept that which will enable us to surrender to Krishna. So now, Parikshit Maharaj had big responsibilities as a king. But when the time came, what did he do? He realized that now I'm going to die in 7 days. So he just gave up all dharmas and surrendered to Krishna. He took up dharma of exclusive hearing and chanting. So similarly, as devotees, what is this verse telling? Mam ekam sharanam raja, just surrender to me. So now, in the Vaishnava scriptures, Bhaktivinoda Thakur also elaborates on this, it's described that surrender can be in 6 elements. Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam rakshishyatiti vishvaso goptrutve varanam tatha atmanikshepa karpanne shadvidha sharanagatihi. So among these 6, the first 2 are important in term because they are actions. And the remaining 4 are emotions. Now, for example, rakshishati iti vishwa, so the faith that Krishna will always protect me. Now, it's not that I can by some mental adjustment I can have that faith. No, that faith gradually grows as we see Krishna protecting us over a period of time. So rakshishati iti vishwa, so that faith is an emotion. Goptrutve varanam tatha. Goptrutve varanam, that Krishna is my maintainer. So rakshishita means when there is danger, Krishna will protect me. Goptrutve means in general, Krishna is my maintainer. Atmanikshep karpanye. Atmanikshep means my whole existence is dependent on Krishna. Karpanye is actually without Krishna, I am useless, I am worthless, I can't do anything. Utter humility in front of Krishna. So all these are emotions and they are very desirable emotions which we should try to cultivate. But that cultivation is something which is progressive. It is not like a switching on of a light. One moment it happens. It happens over a period of time. It's like analog growth, not a digital switch. So what we have to do is for that analog change, gradual development, for that the actions are important. Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam. What is favorable for bhakti, I'll accept that. What is unfavorable for bhakti, I will reject that. And in this way, a devotee acts. So surrender is not just passive. See, when Draupadi, often when we talk about surrender, the example of surrender is Draupadi raising her hands and surrendering to Krishna. And her sari is being disrobed. And she's being disrobed. And then Krishna provides unlimited sari. Yes, that is definitely an expression of surrender. But then, actually, literally speaking, that was not what Draupadi was doing all her life. When there's extreme danger and there's nothing that one can do, then a devotee depends completely on Krishna. But at other times, a devotee knows that Now I have to serve Krishna, and therefore devotee makes intelligent choices. Should I do this or should I do that? How should I act in my life? So in this way, a devotee chooses the proper action. So anukulyasa sankalpa. So for Arjuna, the anukulya sankalpa is to put aside, to accept kshatriya dharma. And pratikulyasa varjanam is to put aside the kula dharma. The kula dharma is the duty of protecting one's family members. So in this way, now Arjuna may still have a question that, but still, you know, I have my family members, my relatives, there are vulnerable elders like Bhishma Pitama and Drona, my martial teacher. How can I attack them in the name of kshatriya dharma? Won't there be sinful reaction? Krishna says no. Even if there's sinful reaction, he says aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami, that I will free you from all sinful reactions. So, and for the sake of Krishna, we have to give up some lower moral principle to adopt a higher moral principle. Then Krishna assures that I will protect you from sinful reactions. So, aham tvam mokshayishyami. So do not bother about ma shuchaha, do not fear. So here Krishna's affection is overflowing completely. Earlier in the 7th chapter, in 7.28, Krishna has said that actually to become fixed in devotion, one has to become free from all sinful reactions. Yesham tu antagatam papam jananam punya karmanam antagatam papam. One has to end one's sinful reactions by acting piously, consistently, for many lifetimes. Jananam punya karmana. Te dvandva moha nirmukta. They become free from the duality of illusion. Bhajante maam dridhavrataha. And they can fix themselves in dridhavrata, in determined devotion. But here Krishna is telling, even if you are not antagatam papam, doesn't matter, even if there is papa, you just come to me. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami. I'll free you from sinful reactions. So this is actually Krishna's love coming out, wholehearted love coming out. So Krishna, he tells Arjuna here that if you, it's like a mother trains a child, and the child, baby is growing up, mother trains the baby, and where you have to respond to nature, you know, you should go to the washroom, and there you should respond. And then the child is foolish, and the child doesn't understand or doesn't learn, and the child soils the clothes. And the mother gets annoyed, you know, the mother sees the child has soiled the clothes. She says, you know, first clean yourself, only then you come to me. Now if the child becomes helpless and, mama, I don't know what to do. She just calls out, and what happens, the mother, love overflows to the earth, come, I will clean you up. So like that, when Krishna is telling, yesham tvantagatam papam, Krishna is telling, first clean yourself, then you come to me. But when the devotee says, I am helpless, then Krishna says, aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami. Don't worry, I will protect you. I will protect you. Just come to me. So in this way, Krishna expresses his intense love for his devotee. And the Bhagavad Gita, especially this verse 18.66, reveals how Krishna reveals his love for us and invites us to love him. Thus, the Bhagavad Gita is essentially a message of love, a message of a call for love, a revelation of love and a call for love. Krishna reveals his love and invites us to reciprocate with that love. And further, we'll discuss this verse and then the Phalashruti that comes of the Bhagavad Gita that we'll discuss in our next class. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Hare Krishna.